Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, welcome everybody to Guest Thursday, and this is part two with our friend Kurt from Massachusetts. He had a great story of how he came to know Christ and his life as he went into business from the military and then went through alcoholism and started to understand what it meant to be redeemed. And then the life of that. So that's what we want to explore. And Kurt really, and all of us need to keep understanding that God is the opportunity of how about now? That, yeah, even though we might have failed, he invites us to a beautiful place and said, let's go into the good stuff. So we'll talk more about that. So Kurt, thank you for sharing your story last time. And you made a couple statements last time about strengthening and then iron sharpening iron and community. So let's first talk about a strengthening for you. How has it worked for you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and to live out the beautiful life now that he's given you?
Just being around other men, being open and willing to like to go to your retreat that I went to up in New Hampshire, to have you pierce me with your eyes and look into my soul, you definitely got to have an openness and a willingness and get over yourself. I think that helps. And then, eventually you get to the point where it's just, you become open and you realize that that openness can help other people. So I truly, truly think that's it for me. And then obviously, like I keep hopping on it, but just the strength of other men, good men.
What does, go ahead, Kathy.
I was just gonna say, I know C12 has been a real pillar for you as well. How did you end up coming? How did you find C12? And talk a little bit about how that group functions to help you in your business and in your personal life.
So I was actually a member of C12 back in 2013, which I found on a Promise Keepers brochure, I think. And anyway, so I called and I did some research. I had to dig a little bit for it but I found it and I joined a group, which is how I met Paul.
Excellent. Okay.
Paul Marston Paul was a member with the group that I ended up in. And at the time, I was going through a divorce, which was beyond brutal, custody battle. And it was just unbelievable. But and that's open book, too, by the way. So I did that for a year. And then it just became too much based on where I was at. So I left. But I had always loosely kept in touch with Paul, very loosely. And then when I found out later that Paul was, firing up a C12, I was like, absolutely.
That's
so
great.
Paul's just an absolute beast and beast for God. Complete savage. He's a good guy. He's straight as 6 o'clock and he's a brother. That's how I get into C12. And it's just amazing, it's amazing the things that come up and the stuff that you gain from being around other Christian CEOs of companies. And I could go on and on and on about some of the stuff. And as a matter of fact, I just gave my core business presentation not that long ago. We're rebranding our company. We're going through all that kind of stuff. And I have always had like the excuse on my branding I throw it out there, and we were talking about that in today's climate. It's tough. And somebody had asked me about the Exus, and I was like, I will never take that off. Never taking that off. And then the person in C12, and it might have been Rock, Kathy, who says, wait a minute, you need to think about that. How do you know that you won't reach or touch more people through the process of who you are and gain more, people where you can speak to about God? And I was just like, well, that makes a ton of sense. So again, that's the perfect case of iron sharpening iron. And you can be so dug in about something, and I was hung up on, if you're embarrassed of him, he'll be embarrassed of you. And I just drew such a hard line with that. I'm like, well, that's it, it says it right there. But when you hear it from another Christian brother who's obviously biblically centered, it just starts to make sense. And it's a ton of sense. You know, I always want to lead. I always want to lead with who I am authentically. Mm-hmm. So people know, like, Christian, man of God, like all that kind of stuff. And that's great. But there's also something to be said about attraction and not promotion. So, you know, you can gain a lot of people by attraction and not promotion. I don't have to jam it down anybody's throat. And, you know, you're always self-righteous in your own mind. And you think that, well, you know, you just do it perfectly. But like somebody that sees the eeks who's on my advertising in Boston Magazine, they can look at that like, oh my gosh, this guy's an absolute wing nut. You know what I mean? So I'd rather get in front of those people without that and let them understand who I am and what I'm all about through the discovery. And I think that was rock, Kathy.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Like we'll give them kudos. Not a lot, but we'll give them some.
As you know, and let's explore this issue of strengthening you and then others. How personally are you strengthened in your walk with God? What's your time with him look like in the word, and how are you strengthened? And then we'll talk about how you assist others in getting strengthened.
So the biggest thing that I have is that Bible app on my phone. That is so super helpful for me. And then when I miss a day and I have to stop back at zero, I am so aggravated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get the streak and then something happens or whatever. So I do a lot of that. And I do some with my wife. I should do more. And I have done a fair amount of the abiding stuff, which is, and the funny thing is that when you first get into it, it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, but you just start going. And it flows. And before you know, like an hour is gone. And it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get going. Like, let's giddy up. So it's crazy. It's like I was doing it the other day and I wound up in the Ten Commandments. I was like, where did that come from? You know what I mean? And I was hung up on the graven images. And, you know, I started pulling that string and went down that and the blue letter Bible, and I'm back and forth and flipping. And it was really, really super helpful. I mean, the Ten Commandments are pretty straightforward and simple, and which is huge for me. I love mm-hmm. simple, which is why I love Proverbs. Do this, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, got it. Check. That to me is the best. And, you know, I will say that probably the biggest thing that I struggle with in the Bible is the hidden meanings that are in everything. Like I just want it surface, right? I just want it in front of me so I can see it and digest it. But there's so many things when you stop pulling the thread, it's just like, oh gosh, I never would have thought that, or I never would have extracted that, or you know, even the story of Adam and Eve, and he comes looking for Adam. He's not pissed at Eve. He's pissed at Adam. You know what I mean? Like when I figured that out, I was just like, oh my gosh, there's just so much stuff here.
When you and I love your analogy, pulling the string where you're starting to unravel something and you've got to follow it, which is what abiding is all about. When you pulled the string on images, anything that struck you about all that?
What do you mean? What do you mean exactly? Right?
You said you got interested in what images were and you started pulling that string.
Yeah, it just
what
it
came
just
goes, to you about all that.
So I just went back through the Bible from the blue letter Bible back and forth, and the Bible verses that I ended up in Revelation somewhere, and it was just insane how interwoven it actually is, and it's just amazing. And yeah. I will say, you know, in general, when I'm firing all eight cylinders, either abiding or, you know, reading the Bible with my wife, like life is much easier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's a direct correlation, you know, when things are chaotic and I'm good there, I'm really good in chaos, which can be an addiction, by the way. Because
you might create some of the chaos.
And I speak to guys about this all the time. You know, a lot of addicts and a lot of alcoholics and guys in recovery are really good in chaos, and on a subconscious level that can be created mm-hmm. to give you a reason to exist. So you know, you can drop grenades to your wife, or you can drop things to your wife because you're good in that struggle. Mm-hmm. You're really good in that struggle, and that can be just as much of an addiction when you put down the drink, the drug, or the money mm-hmm. or whatever it is. That can be just as much of an addiction because it is a high. Same thing with helping people. That can be the same way. So that's why I think the strength of other men helps, because it's so much easier to deal in other people's problems than it is to deal with your own. And you get all the praise and accolades from being the great guy. Oh my gosh, look what he does here and what he does. So you get all those praise and accolades inside. You're dying. So it's so easy to hyper focus on the problems of other people and lose yourself in the process. And that's where I think the strength of other men comes in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That can be just as much of an addiction. And I've said to a million people, like, I feel like I should be in a fire extinguisher case that says break in case of emergency. I'm good there. I always have been, you know, I always have been since I was little. I've been good there. So again, when you become aware of anything, you have an obligation to do something about it. That's a fact.
What is the, as you obviously are talking about community, and you're even saying that you have to help, even as they're starting to grow, they have to keep learning the truth of how to live a life of freedom, because you can still, like you say, I can get so active that I get praised for that activity, but actually for me, I'm not really vibrant with God. So how do you assist, and what do you see as the value of community to sharpen each other, to keep going toward the real life of freedom and joy with Christ?
So you got to give it to get it. You know what I mean? And I think it's really good if early on that maybe some of the guys that you're working with, that they can see that they can help others even early on. And I think a lot of people that are early on don't think they can offer anything, or don't think they can give anything. It's almost like this illusion of time that they think they need to fill before they can go out and give what they have, because they haven't suffered enough or they haven't done anything enough. And it is so contradictory. It's so not true, because you create the opportunity for them to help somebody else. Despite how early on they are in their walk, it is like life breathing. Obviously, it's God interdicting there, but like, it's unbelievable. The most broken people have stuff to give immediately. And I think a lot of times people think that they have to suffer for a certain period of time before they can offer any assistance. There's nobody better to speak to about marital issues than somebody that's been divorced three times and knows the things they did wrong.
Yeah. And and I believe that that's really what God asks all of us is, as I give it to you, give it away right now. You don't need to reach a certain point.
100%.
What do you see the value to me that I'm starting to learn something? And God says, well, start giving away what you already know. You don't have to reach a milestone. What's the value? What happens to me as I give that away? What's the value of that?
The transformation is just unbelievable. You know, and the funny thing about it is that I do think when it comes to God, that people have, and again, I'm always speaking about guys. I think people have this image that it's supposed to be peace, love, happiness, and the Care Bears parachuting down, sprinkling fairy dust over everything. That is not the walk. Walking with God, you need to be a savage. It is not for the faint of heart. And I think a lot of guys are lost because they think the other way. Some of the toughest guys I know are walking with God. Like, just absolutely, it's not for the faint of heart. Armoring up every day is not easy. And you're going to get dirty, bloody, and messy. Like, let's do this. Let's go. And I think a lot of guys are lost in that, or they think that they have to act a certain way. How many people have you tried to bring to church that have some stupid comment about, oh, a lightning bolt's going to strike me when I walk through the church, or the church is going to collapse? Like, that's such a fear-based, easy coin can response. Well, the reality is they just don't want to look at what they need to look at. Because at the bottom line is that everyone knows. Everyone knows of his existence. Everyone knows he's out there. Everyone knows. It's just a willingness to be open and expose your backside and be willing to change. So, you know, again, I'm working with a guy right now that he actually lives with us, Marine, a combat Marine, Fallujah. Just a great, great guy. He works for my company, and just a great guy. And you know, he's got stuff to give right away. And I think when you make them, guys want to be guys, and it's okay to be a savage, and it's okay to be a savage for God. I think that to me is a huge thing.
What do you see as the one of the keys to helping each other walk through this messy life? Life is going to have trouble. We live in a troubled world. God doesn't pull us out of the world. He actually sends us into the world. How do we help each other walk through the messy life that we're going to experience while we can enjoy the beauty of walking with God?
I think you got to penetrate the veil. You know, I do think you got to, guys as a whole are very reserved and they want to hold things up and they think they got a shoulder and hold everything. You know what I mean? But the true gift of leadership is to give away what you have, but people want to hold it on. Like even in carpentry, you know, everybody thinks that if they have some tip or technique that they can do and they do things well, they don't want to share it with somebody else because they're afraid they're going to get their job stolen or somebody's going to do it better than them. It's actually completely opposite. Leadership is about sharing, right? Mm-hmm. It's about giving it away. Because when you give it away, you never know how it's going to be. Even with guys that come in and want to leave my company, I would never not support somebody for wanting to go hang their shingle somewhere else and do it on their own. I did it. So, is it sad that I'm going to lose somebody? Yeah, it's definitely going to be sad. But you never know how that's going to come back to you in a different way. You just never know. You know what I mean? Maybe there's a time where we need a carpenter and I can call this guy on the phone and say, hey, Joe, do you have a carpenter that I can use for a few weeks? It's so much different way of looking. It's just a different way of looking at things. And I think it comes through the growth. And obviously it comes through my relationship with God. Because left up to my own, I wouldn't be doing those kinds of things. You know what I mean? It just makes all the difference in the world. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Yeah, right? No, you are. And then as you said, you penetrate that veil. How do you get people then to start talking and opening up so that they can receive then the life of God to get as you do that together?
Great question. So up at your retreat, I was speaking with a guy, Guy Cathy, and I was speaking to him and his wife. It was probably somewhere after you looked into my soul in one of your sessions. And he was talking about his son loosely. And I just asked. You got to be bold. Just ask. And if people don't want to share, they're not going to share. But this guy did. And I got involved. I got involved. And I'm still involved to this day with this guy's son. And this guy is a complete savage, great guy. But you got to ask. You got to ask. Everybody's got a dirty diaper and not everybody wants to show it to everybody.
How did God draw you into a relationship with his son and help his son? How did that happen?
Through his dad. Through his father. So I was, I was speaking to his father and talking about some stuff and I dug a little bit deeper and he offered up some stuff and I said, give him my number. I can help. And he called. The kid called and I brought him down to my office and I gave it to him raw. You know, the funny part about any of this stuff is it's a light switch. It is a switch. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's booze, drugs, whatever, it's a switch. And you decide when that switch turns on and off. You know, if somebody says that they're going to quit smoking, and then the next day they come in with a pack of Marlboro Lights, I'm going to only smoke light cigarettes, they're still a smoker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm going to change to Newport. I'm only going to smoke one cigarette a day. Like, it doesn't work. At some point, all that stuff is the lie that you tell yourself to continue the narrative that plays out in your mind. You have to flip that switch and it happens just like that. You have to stop. At some point, I stopped drinking and I tried three different times. My parents, tried to get me involved and stuff. And it's just, you shut it off and you're done. That's why, like what I said in the earlier podcast, you want that bottom to be as bloody and messy as possible for that person. It's just different for everybody, and everybody gets off the pain train at a different level. Somebody, it might be a wife at a cocktail party, having a glass of wine, backing out and hitting the mailbox. That might be her bottom, and that might be enough for her to get off that pain train.
Yeah.
The embarrassment that she suffered, the ridicule that she suffered from being at that party. Somebody else, it might be barreling down 495 after snorting lines and drinking a suitcase of beer and killing a family. That might be their bottom. Is it any different? It's really not, because stop is stop. And that to me is that's the big piece. And that comes through that, all those awarenesses things, they come through God. God says everything is doable, but not everything is advisable.
Yeah. And it's, I'd like to highlight something that you just shared, is that you asked somebody a question.
Yeah.
First of all, you weren't afraid to. And that person, because you asked that question, answered the question. And of course, you're, and the neat thing, see, about the life of God is that you were listening, processing, and recognizing something. And you said, well, have your son contact me. Because you have a heart to recognize God's assignment. Is that, are you willing, now that you know something, are you willing to step into that? You know, and you said, yeah, I am. And you said, give him my number. Well, the kid calls you, which, by the way, you would think probably that's not going to happen, but the kid actually calls you.
He did.
Now, you could have called him on the phone and here, do these three things and see you later. And what you did is invite him into your life.
Yeah.
Come and experience some things and let me walk with you. Why? Because God said to you through a conversation, I want you to help that kid. And you had a heart to do it because you know something. You know something about God's invitation. You know something about second chances. You know something about just learn some new things and you'll start to have a different life. That's how it works is when you say give it away, I think we just saw an example, Kathy, of Holly Howe has given away.
Yeah,
it's not I have a program and I'm inviting a bunch of people to my program. It's no, people have needs and you're willing to go serve those needs.
I just, you know, he's going to prepare you for whatever happens. You know, it's funny. So we have a long-term goal in my company to actually build a recovery center. We want to build a recovery center that houses guys that we teach them the craft and the trade. And it might not be carpentry. And we're trying to, which is the reason that I was up at his mansion. So Paul and I went up there just to do some research on Friday, and there was this kid who's at the end of his time. He's been there for almost 2 years. Kid from Montana, addict, and you know, a lot of these programs. The tough thing is what happens after.
Mm-hmm.
Like what goes on after? Like that's great. You go through the program. How are you going to reacclimate to the world?
Right.
Anyways, I'm speaking to this kid and you know, he's telling me his story and I'm just listening and, you know, he's talking about how he's good with tools and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm going to offer this kid a job. So anyways, we're speaking. And as I'm speaking to him, I'm texting my wife, Jane, do you care if I offer a room in our house to a kid that I'm meeting? Now, she had no idea where I was.
Right.
Do you care if I offer a room in my house? My daughter is in the Army, so her room is available and he lives with us. She responds, sure. She has no clue what I'm doing. Right. And I was just like, there it is. So anyways, we offered this kid a job and he's going to come and work for us and spend some time through the holidays. But you know, it's just, you just gotta be willing. And you know, everybody always puts up the smoke screens. Well, what if he's a lunatic or what if he's this or what if he's that? Like, you know what? I'm going to deal with it. I'll figure that out. God's going to empower me to figure it out, right? Like, so what if he is? We'll figure that out, and I'll deal with it at that time. I'm going to be protected by our Creator, no matter what. I just think you need to be willing. And I'm not saying that. It's hard to tell stories without saying, look at me, right? So I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to give you illustrations of, and don't get me wrong, I love praise and accolades, right? Like we all, you know, it's truly hard to give in secret. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. And actually God wants us to, you know, not because we take the glory, we give the glory to him, but he said, I do this through you and you're my physical representative of the invisible God. And that's how it works. So Kurt, thank you so much for sharing about that and the story. And we're excited about your vision. And we would urge you to ask, seek, and knock about that and go further with that vision. You don't have to do it independent of God, but let God give it to you as you walks you down the path. And so, Father, we're giving just great honor to you for the life of Kurt, what you've done with his life, his understanding of freedom and second chance and truth and honesty, and then giving it away. What a privilege that is. We pray right now that you would carry him further into this vision of the recovery center. He does understand things that nobody else does. And I pray that it comes about in a way that really takes people into that next phase of integration back into community, and they learn the things that he's learned. and continue to bless him, his family, his marriage, the situation now with his kid and his work there. And it would be a great honor to see him restored. And we praise you and thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Kurt. And thank you to all our listeners for joining. If you have questions about today's podcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. Yep. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll have you back, Kurt. And I'd love to catch up, hear about this kid, what happened, and then what progress you're thinking of this vision you've got, which I really confirm to start down that path, because I believe that God's asking you to fulfill that. So it'll be good.
Amen.
Yep.
Let's go.
Yes, let's go. All right. We'll see you soon.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.